David standing on that rock. Let's open our Bibles this morning. 2 John and chapter 2, we're still working on my little children message again from the Apostle John. And I've enjoyed again looking into these scriptures. And again, beginning off this year, listen to Dr. McGee, who said that every time he went to a church and started out a ministry in a new church, he would start with these messages to my little children, and said they're just precious and sweet, and they cover all the aspects of our walk and talk with the Lord. And so I have enjoyed, again, following that same outline now through the first epistle of John. So we've covered, again, all the way up through, I think we left off about verse 5 or 6. Let me check my notes and outline. I said earlier that it's better to preach with an outline. For me, again, it's safer for me to preach with an outline, so we'll finish on time. So chapter 8 through 11 we want to look at, but I've got to back up and look at verse 7 as well. So in looking at this series, we've already covered, the first section of this was a Christology. I may have gone a little overboard in teaching some Christology, but John was instructed to write the things that thou hast seen, and he wrote the things that we have seen, the things that we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. And he begins this again with a tremendous dissertation. Where I said, I think he probably went back and then wrote the whole Gospel of John with the same theme. Both of them followed the same outline and intermixed back and forth, talking or with thoughts again that are interwoven between the Gospel of John and here in this first epistle that he writes to my little children. And so, again, we saw a little bit on Christology. Then we saw the key that he'd written here. Why is he writing this? And so your fellowship, you'll have fellowship with God, and that your fellowship, again, is what causes that we could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verses 5 and 7 talks about the light and walking in the light. Verses 8 and 10, that we sin not. Then in chapter 2, we've already looked at the propitiation for our sins. Praise the Lord. And verses 3 through 5, I think we looked at last week, that we could know that we know. No, last week we looked at verses 6 there that said we ought to abide in him. So we're going through this outline again about our walk and our talk and our Christian life and what it ought to be, with this emphasis that it ought to be, again, fellowship with God. Think about that for a moment. I wrote my half-shekel journal this week and sent it out where we're at the Solomon's Pillars. And all I did is try to get every creation verse I could find in there. Lee Pickett talked about that while we was there, that you feel so small under those huge pillars of sandstone. Again, looking at God's creation and recognizing, wow, we are so small, so insignificant little dot. But God loves us, and he loves us more than he loves the great mountains that he built on this earth. And so again, looking at that theme, again, we can get excited about creation, but again, that we are his creation. Let's look then in where we're picking up today in verse, let me throw 7 in there too, 7 and 8 together. 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at God's Word. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. And in Nehemiah, they stood, in chapter 8, I think it is, they stood for the whole day for the reading of the Word of God. Will not be that long. 1 John chapter 2, look with me at verse 7. It says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning." Verse 8. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Father, praise you again. Thank you for the Apostle John. I thank you again for his pen as it reached out and touched the page here. Father, touches our heart as we study his love and his word. And so I pray again, Father, that you touch our heart. Cause again, Father, that you divide the thoughts and intents of each heart here under the preaching of your word. Father, that we'd be the better equipped to walk into this new week that we begin on this day, this first day of the week, because of a little time looking into your word. And we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I love this portion of Scripture. I love this book. I love, again, this compilation of 66 books written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years. I've just done a hermeneutics class, and I got another one coming up in a couple weeks, and so I've been digging into the Word of God, and what a marvelous thing to have it in our laps here. What a marvelous thing that we could lean on it and rely on it and trust every word, watch every word. We believe in the verbal inspiration of God's Word. And so here we've got some words that we need to discern in this little portion of Scripture here that kind of continues on with the emphasis that John has already been placing, and we've looked at it from several different aspects, and that is, number one, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know, again, these things? Are you standing in the light? Are you staying out of sin? And he's given us, again, several references so that we could know that we're saved. And second person, he's given us several references so that you could know your loved ones are saved. You could, again, he's given the fruits that, again, of a saved person and saying, hey, watch for these. And by these things, you can tell if a person is saved or not. Jesus gave the same commands. By this shall ye know ye are my disciples, and by this shall ye know my disciples. And so, and then third person is the they, I like to consider, that also we need to be able to look around and determine whether a person is saved or not. So that we can pray right, so that we can witness right, and so that we can be burdened right. And so these things are dealing with that ye may know. Look at verse 3 again, we'd already covered, and chapter 2 and verse 3 of 1 John. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So we looked at that a little bit last week. It parallels with keeping his word, it says in the next verse. But let's jump down now to verse 7 and look at the first phrase in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. And then look at it again in verse 8. It says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, comma. Verse 8 says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which is it, okay? Is he writing no new commandment, or is he writing a new commandment? And so we're stuck in this little paradox here that's got to make you think, I hope, again, that engages our mind and says, whoa, what is this, a riddle? Is this a dark saying? Is this a proverb? What's John writing here? And boy, again, I want to unfold that a little bit so that we could understand it. And it has to do with the close of verse 7. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And to examine this phrase more fully, I want to go back to the beginning. What is the beginning? Is it talking about when God first made the earth? Is that the beginning? Or maybe it's when Christ came? Or maybe it's when Christ was crucified? Or maybe it's the new covenant? Maybe it's in Acts chapter 2 where they began to preach the gospel. And I say no to all of them. That's not the beginning he's talking about here. He's talking about your beginning. So look with me. Hold your place here. Let's look back to Ephesians chapter 5, if I remember right. Galatians, Ephesians. Oh, I don't have to remember right. I got my notes here. Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me at verse 8. I've talked about this a couple times, and I wanted us to find this verse in our Bible this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. In the wrong place on my page. I'm on the wrong page. In chapter 5, in verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Verse 8 says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Now, I've read that verse for 50 years of my salvation, and I always thought it was, "Ye are sometimes in darkness." Ye were sometimes. You used to be in darkness. Notice it does not say that. It says that you were darkness. Notice the difference here. That when we were unsaved, we were not only in darkness, but we were darkness. Consider that again when with some of the people that we've perhaps looked at and said, "Hey, I'm not sure that that's person saved." Again, understand this, that if not, they are not only in darkness, they are darkness. And I don't know, that just dawned on me. And I hit that verse one day and said, wow, that's what we were, that's what we are. Remember Jesus talking to the Pharisees, said, you are of your father, the devil. And we reeled back and thought, wow, I mean, he just slammed them. They couldn't be that bad. And you and I were too. So we were darkness, we were children of the devil. When we got saved, that's what that reference is, I believe, there that we're looking at in 1 John, back at the beginning. We became light. Now, we stepped into the light. Praise the Lord for that. But we are light. Jesus said it. Ye are the light of the world. And so, notice again that over here, back where we're looking at that, it goes on there in Ephesians to cover some things that we did or didn't do in darkness. The glory of being quickened and stepping into the light. And so I believe here in this verse it's talking about that what we did from the beginning, and this is the paradox about whether there's a new command or there's not a new command. And what is the command? If you were to go out on the street and ask people, "Hey, could you name a command of God?" Particularly unsaved people, just on the street, can you name a command of God? What are you going to get? First off, you might get a lot of them say, "Who's God?" You know, what commands of God are in the Bible? What's a Bible? Okay, we are in a time of ignorance that's unbelievable. But just asking the man on the street, you're probably going to get something about the Ten Commandments. Someone will say, "Hey, I'm trying to go to heaven because I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments." I always love people like that because then I ask them, "Could you name the Ten Commandments?" No. No, they can't. Okay. In fact, I could go poll around here and see if we could get all ten, and we'd probably be rusty at it too. Again, notice it's not the Ten Commandments it's talking about keeping the commandments. But if you said that, "Hey, God's going to require that we keep commandments to the common man," what's he going to think of? Listen, he's in darkness. And he doesn't have a clue. And so you and I are no longer in darkness. Remember the rich man that came to Jesus? I think it was a rich man, it was a wise man, or whatever it was. He said this, "What is the first and greatest of all the commandments?" And I think Jesus turned the question around and said, "Well, you tell me." Again, you got a good education. And he told them again that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, there's the commands. And you can kind of skip ahead in our text here and figure out, hey, that's kind of where we're going with this thing. That's the commandment. And notice, is that a new commandment or is that an old commandment? And here's the paradox explained as best I could see it, is again that is an old commandment. I mean, that's been around from the beginning. Jesus emphasized it. And that contains all of the law, Jesus said. But listen, when you got saved, that was a new commandment written in your hearts. It was written in stone back in the Old Testament, but now it's written in our hearts. And that's what we knew from the beginning. And so he's coming back here to when you first got saved, when you were first exposed to the light, that, listen, we then had something in our heart, instilled in our heart. I was going through an explanation of inspiration this past week and saying we don't know how God inspired Scripture. We don't know how, we don't know whether he just dictated it word for word. We don't know whether he grabbed the pen out of their hand. We do not know how he did it. But bless God, we know he did it. And listen, the same thing's true for your salvation. You don't really know exactly how it is that God saved you. You don't know how he quickened you. You don't know how he reached down into your heart. He did five things. He justified you. He quickened you. He indwelt you. And wow, those are amazing things we cannot understand. And he made us a child of God. And now we're in the family of God. We used to be the child of the devil. And then he indwelt us, I said, and then he baptized us into Christ. So now we got a position in Christ. Those five things that he did to us, I forgot, converted was one of the five. And anyway, when he did those five things, you don't know exactly what happened. And there's been a lot of theologians that say, hey, what is this anyway? And we can't word it. We don't know exactly how that happened or how it occurred. But bless God, you know it did happen, all right? He'll save you till you know it. And he'll change you till you show it. We've said that. And so notice here again that there's a salvation where we come into the light and the light comes into us and we become light. And from then on, it's not a new commandment, but it is new to us. Suddenly, we know this commandment of God. Look, I guess I'm going to move on there because, again, that's an amazing phrase. And I think I've shined a little bit of light on it, if I could put it that way. And so look at how it closes in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. And so notice again that commandment's already stuck inside of us. We know that. Because we're children of the light. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And so I hope every one of us have a true light shineth inside of us. And I like that. I mean, that helps me. There's sometimes I see things that this old natural mind of mine couldn't see. And that gives me witness that, hey, his spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. And I like them. They help me. They encourage me. And it will you as well, that once we see things happening, even in our own mind again, that we know the commandments of God. We know right from wrong. We know what to do and what not to do. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light, notice again that he's switched again now back to this light thing that he started out in chapter 1 again, that again, if we say we're in the light and walk in darkness, then the truth is not in us. And so here it is again that we're going to talk about this light that's inside of us and has shown us the law of God, the commandment of God. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I like that phrase. I go through, maybe it's because I'm a stumbler, and I've stumbled probably more than other people, that again, I like some verses. There's some in Ephesians that I forgot. And now I'm thinking it isn't even Ephesians, where he gives us again that, and he says, if these things be in you, you will never fall. And your faith Where's that verse? Add your faith unto virtue, into virtue, patience, and okay, we got Philippians, we got Peter. I didn't know there was going to be a test today. I'm going to go with precious promises given in Peter.
It's Philippians 4 something.
Dave gets a prize. Do you have any candy bars up here? It's in Peter, okay? Second Peter.
That was crazy.
And was it Tracy that said that? Someone over there said
it's
that.
In the Bible.
It's in the Bible. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Look what it says. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then he says this, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. I like that. I need some verses that will help me to never fall, and probably you do too. And so we're going to look at this stumbling again that happens in 1 John that he's concerned about. Notice what it says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And I tried to list out, I mean, when you go with sins, I just had a whole list of sins. Paul made a couple lists here that we ought to be careful of. But again, which one of those are related to not loving your brother, not loving others? Pride, again, is that great sin, again. David Gibbs last week, man, he preached on slothfulness as the greatest sin. And so all these preachers got the greatest sins, you know, that affect us. But here, what we want to look at today is the sin of not loving. Notice again, when you turn this verse inside out, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I say turn that verse inside out, and it says this, if you don't love your brother, then you're not abiding in the light, and there is great occasion for you to start stumbling. And so let's look at that thought for a minute, and again, understand that we need to have a love for others, and it needs to show up in our life, like not like, doggone, I'm going to grip my teeth and love this person no matter how big a jerk he is, but again, that we're going to have this light inside of us that causes us to love others. And each of these things, it's given, we have the tendency that says, okay, these are the things I got to do to prove I'm a Christian, I'm going to grip my teeth and prove I'm a Christian. That's all backwards again. I've said again, it's hard to act Christians, but it's easy to be a Christian. And so these things ought to be things in our life, and if there isn't, there's an occasion for stumbling in our life here. That if we don't have love for others, and remember Jesus, he came to minister, it says, in John, I think it's chapter 13, he washed his disciples' feet, and the next phrase he said was, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I said, man, that's a pretty simple verse. And that's us. And he's talking about ministering to others. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We're to minister to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 gives, wherefore do we labor? And it gives three reasons why we labor. And then it describes our labor as being ministers of reconciliation. And so we ought to be looking out for others and looking for opportunities to minister to others. You've got a friend, and I think I probably met him, who all he wants to talk about is himself. And after talking about himself on and on and on, and then he'll say this. He'll say, okay, well, that's enough about me. What do you think of me? And so there are people that are so self-centered that's all we think about. I was working at when we was in Huber Heights there, and we started working in the junior church and training junior church workers, and what was the programs we had out there? The Eager Beaver program, all these kids programs. One of the things I dealt with the teachers was when a child comes into the church, we look right over children and we look to talk to adults. And you can't do that if you're going to be a children's worker. You got to focus all your attention on them. And they need to see your love. And they need to see it over top of you talking with somebody else and ignoring them. They see that too. But when in a children's program, again, children have got to have all the attention, that they showed up, that they rode the bus in, however they got there. And our focus needs to be on them and their needs, and to minister to them. That's a calling again. And so to be able to see others as a ministry opportunity. We need to see people like that. We need to, again, look at others and be more concerned about them and their walk and their relationship. Even here amongst ourselves, there's only a few of us, but again, being more concerned about what's going on in someone else's life than what's going on in my life. We've met people and you don't want to ask them how they're doing, okay? Because they'll tell you and you'll be there the rest of the day. We can't be that way. That is a focus of loving our brother. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And so if we're in the light, we're going to have a compassion for others. We're going to see others. And that's not only at church. That's when we're walking around in the world and we see somebody. The first thing we think about, look how disgusting they're dressing. Look at them tattoos. Look at those piercings. When it ought to be, that person needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have a heart to look at a person and not see them as trees, if you've heard that example, about the blind man who didn't get his healing quite right. Again, God retouched him, so he didn't see men as trees. He saw men as souls, and we need that touch. So that we can look at people and that we can have a heart for people, a heart for ministry. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You might be attacked. I've heard stories, and it's not happened to me. I praise the Lord for that. But people that they've ministered to and ministered over the years, and they turn on them. And hurt them in the vilest ways. Praise the Lord. You might get hurt ministering to others. It's very possibility. Even Jesus, after he washed the disciples' feet, you know, he washed Judas's feet. Judas went out and betrayed him right after that. That's given again so we'd understand that, hey, it's all not going to be rosy stuff when we're in a ministry for others. There's going to be tremendous hurt. There's going to be tremendous failures. There's going to be, again, occasions for others to put stumbling blocks, if I could put it that way, in front of us. But notice again here that there's none occasion for stumbling in him. And keeping your head on ministry, that you're ministering to others, and there'll be none occasion for stumbling. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so all of us have probably done this, put on a blindfold and tried to walk from upstairs to downstairs. We used to do that. I still do it sometimes. Again, right now, I get up in the morning, it's 3 o'clock, and I got to go put a log on the fire. And if I turn lights on, I don't want to wake my wife. And so I stumble down the stairs, and I used to count, but I'm old now and lose count. And if you ever hit the bottom step and think you're on level floor, and you take another step, and it isn't the level floor, there's another step there, and oh, I just did a back exercise. Listen, all of us are familiar what it's like to walk around blinded and to bump into things and to stumble. I shouldn't tell stories. Preston got me starting telling stories here. It's his fault, but but we used to have a cat that was blind, and but he knew every place in the house, and that cat would come tearing through the living room and out to the kitchen, especially if Beverly rattled her food dish, okay? And the kids, I got three boys again, and most of you know some of them a little bit, but the kids would move the chair across the living room and say, watch this, watch this. And then the cat would come tearing through and go wham, right into that chair, and they'd all laugh. And where was I going with that? This is the blind again, running into things. And again, be careful and understand this, that we could be like that. If we are like that, that tells us something about our life. If we are like that, we need to examine whether we be in the light or not. And listen, you have friends, you have colleagues, you have family even again, and you can look at them and tell whether they're in the light or not. And you can tell that by whether they got love for other people. And boy, again, I probably don't have to touch on it here very much, but we've seen some family relationships that are just been filled with hate for years and years. And unbelievable, and saying, I can't comprehend that. There's something wrong with that. And I'm here to say, there is something wrong with that, again. That someone's not in the light. If we can harbor anger against somebody, that goes on and on. Again, understand that we can look around us. Certainly look at our own soul, our own relationship, our own ministries where we can touch the lives of others. But again, understand that John is also writing so we can look at our own family a little bit. John is also writing so we can look at others and be a minister to others because of where they are at. And so here again, we have this important concept of ministry. John was there when Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And took special note again that we are to be ministers, loving others and helping others. Father, praise you again. Thank you. Thank you for your word. And I pray again, Father, that it have an effect on our heart. Thank you for the love of God that you've put inside of our soul. And Father, we know again the verses that God is love. And Father, I thank you that love indwells us when we're born again. And Father, that we could again also be light. And Father, that we could again have that light shine in us. I pray again that you'd help each one of us here to minister to others and to be watchful for opportunities even this week to minister to someone else, to encourage, to bless, to edify, and to touch with your hands in a way again, Father, that we could encourage someone else. Father, that we could point someone else towards Christ, your Son. That we could again touch someone else in their need and be ministers. Certainly ministers of reconciliation to you, but also, Father, that we could minister one to another, that we could bear each other's burdens, and that we could again be strengthened and encouraged in you. Thank you for the week. Thank you that we begin it this day. Pray again that you just touch and bless in our week in a special way. And we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. Let's all stand and let's end as we begun. 722, Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the house.